News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Which one's the familiar one? Because everybody knows Dalton on that listens to this station, FM Talk 106.5. I've been gone for 6 months, so I'm not that familiar.
You're pretty familiar, Dan. Okay. I don't know if anyone's told you.
Okay.
Been around the block here in Mobile.
It is 8:06 on FM Talk 106.5. My pleasure to be sitting in here. Thank you to Sean Sullivan for making all this work out, because this is really, this is a godsend, this whole opportunity right now, and a lot of fun. One thing about working at FM Talk 106.5, too, you listen or you host and you get smarter.
Yes.
Because of the guests.
Yeah, and we do have great guests. We've had great guests, and one of those that comes on every Tuesday morning right here on Mobile Mornings now with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig is Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Also, author of Mad Jones Heretic, the trilogy. That where can you buy that thing, Quinn?
You can buy it at Amazon.com, but Dan, I better warn you, what I do is I reduce your IQ by 10 points every time you listen to me.
Not, so far, that's not been the case. And by the way, so I was in the Great Northwest in the middle of a pandemic. That's another story. But anyway, when I was flying back from Seattle to the Gulf Coast, I went ahead and uploaded some podcasts. Which did I do, Dalton?
I think you downloaded it.
Dalton explains to Dan. That's something that we're going to be doing here soon. Anyway, Quinn, and it was is it called Slow Burn?
Slow Burn. It's on Slate. Apparently, it's been going for several seasons. But yeah, what they do is they do a multi-part deep dive into some old topic.
Yeah, and this topic, explain I think you were on season 4.
Yeah, well, this topic was a look back 30 years ago to the fight against David Duke when he was in his heyday, when he actually held a public office and was running for much bigger ones, and I was right in the midst of the fight against him, and for the 6-part series, they interviewed me for close to 4 hours, and they used clips of me in, I think, 4 of those 6 parts.
I was proud to hear your voice on that podcast. I had no idea you were on it, and it was a fascinating, well-produced podcast, so I would I don't want to recommend them getting the podcast over your books, but I did want to let them know that you're a big part of that, and I thought I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And what's that called one more time, Quinn, for those that haven't listened to it? Slow Burn?
It's on Slate. The show is called Slow Burn, and season 4 is all about the rise of and fight against David Duke, famous neo-Nazi who, thank goodness, we finally beat.
Oh, I've got to check that out, and I know many in the audience are thinking the same thing.
Yeah, it's good.
Let's talk about some current topics of discussion, and the Democrats had their week last week, a mostly virtual Democratic National Convention, and this week it's the Republicans' week in Charlotte, North Carolina, and doing things just a little bit differently than the Democrats. They've got some virtual, but they've also got a little bit of a crowd that's turned out there, and a lot of the speakers speaking from the same lectern. I wanted to get your thoughts on yesterday. You know, they had a number of notable speakers, and went all day long. I certainly did not watch every single Republican that took to the stage, but a familiar name locally, Matt Gaetz, representative from over in Florida. You also had, remember those, the McCloskeys that were in St. Louis and had the protesters basically break down the gate into their neighborhood, and they pulled out their firearms, and we know all know where that story went. Herschel Walker, you know, the former Heisman winner, he spoke last night, and then what I thought were 3 pretty good ones to end the night: Nikki Haley, Donald Trump Jr., and then Senator Tim Scott was outstanding as far as these political conventions go. What's your take on night one of the Republican National Convention?
I thought the 2 speeches were horrible. I thought Kimberly Guilfoyle and Donald Trump Jr. were terrible myself. Mm-hmm. But I thought the rest of it, almost all the rest of it, was pretty good. I thought the production values were much better than the Democrats, although that really shouldn't matter on substance. But I thought that that the messages they were giving were, I think, better designed to appeal to the whatever swing voters still are left. And I thought that they ended with just a fantastic speech by Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, who has been one of my favorites since, I think it was way back in 2010. I was the second person for a national publication. Fred Barnes beat me by 2 days, darn him, but I was just the second person on a national publication to write about Tim Scott running for his for the U.S. House for the first time, and I was tremendously impressed. I sat down with him for about 30 or 40 minutes up in Washington, and I've been, I was tremendously impressed. I've been watching him ever since, and boy, did he deliver last night a really, really good, heartfelt, sincere, impressive speech.
Quinn, if you could, what's Tim Scott's backstory?
Tim Scott's backstory is great. He was, he grew up very poor. His parents divorced. His mom was a custodian, I believe, at a hospital, worked 16 hours a day. They were not in good financial shape. He was in school, and he wasn't concentrating. Freshman year, he flunked four courses. Mm. Basically, he was about to flunk out of school, but they let him go to summer school and make it up. And then he was working a job at a movie theater, and on breaks he would go next door to the Chick-fil-A, and he didn't even have money for chicken, but he would buy fries. And the manager of the place took a liking to him and started talking to him and became his mentor, gave him a job, started teaching him how business worked, and meanwhile his mother kept pushing him to study, and he went back and he became a straight-A student and went off to college, and anyway, just one good thing after another, started a business, did well, got elected to the city council in Charleston, and went on to become a congressman and a senator, largely because his mother did instill in him in a work ethic, and then he found this manager at Chick-fil-A who took a liking to him and said, you know what, there's potential there, and I want to help you realize it.
Interesting.
Quinn, unless you're a political junkie, both of these conventions, Democrats, Republicans, there's a lot of nails on the chalkboard moments. And it's because, playing to the base, speaking in generalities, talking about how bad the other side is. And it's interesting, not interesting to me, but you see a lot of the national media headlines, and it's almost like they're surprised that one side paints a grim picture of what it will be like if the other side either holds or gains power. Not surprising. That's been happening in politics forever. And there's been some bad speeches last week. Yesterday, there were some bad speeches. But this Tim Scott one last night, and it wasn't all, 100% perfect, but a couple things he said stuck out to me. And one of those, he took on the left, and he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he basically said, it's a bald-faced lie to pretend that things aren't better now than they were 150 years ago or even 50 years ago. Things are good in America, but they can be better. He was very straightforward about that. I thought that was a powerful part of his speech.
Very powerful part of his speech. And he followed Nikki Haley, and both of them gave the message that America is not racist. They said, they didn't say it in the following words, but they both basically said, look, there have been racists in America, and there are parts of America that have been racist, but as a nation, America is not racist. And that's a message the left just refuses to believe, because they want to believe the worst about us, and it's just not true. It is just not true. But the great line from Tim Scott was talking about how his grandfather was illiterate, didn't make it past third grade in school because he was pulled out of school to pick cotton in the fields, and yet lived long enough to see his grandson become a U.S. senator. And he said, from cotton to Congress in one lifetime. Repeat, from cotton to Congress in one lifetime. He said, that is the beauty of America.
Well, that's a beautiful way to frame it. You got to give the guy a lot of credit for, or his speechwriters, people like you behind the scenes, Quinn.
Well, look, as I said, I sat down in a room, just the two of us, back in 2010, spoke to him, and, you know, he might have good speechwriters, but he's very eloquent on his own. So I don't know who came up with that, but that just sounds like him anyway.
Yeah.
He's a smart guy. He's an earnest, sincere guy. I don't always agree with him on everything, but boy, he is really the hope for the future of our politics, I think.
I can see you're a big fan.
Yeah, and so we'll continue to talk when we get back here about the RNC and your take on that, Quinn. I know it's not all roses for you. You do have a couple bones to pick, but also the right to try life-saving medicines. You give President Trump and his administration some props here, so I want to discuss that when we get back from the break.
Sounds good.
FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, Dan Brennan, Dalton Hilliard, the running back. Dalton Orwig and Quinn Hilliard right now. I've got some snazzy music around here for a non-music station. I applaud you, Dalton.
Well, lots of music in the backgrounds of those that work at FM Talk 106.5, so we try to get the best of both worlds.
It's fun. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5, and Tuesdays means Quinn Hilliard.
Yeah, Quinn Hilliard from QuinnHilliard.com joining us and talking about the first night of the Republican National Convention from yesterday. And Quinn, before, and we're getting questions on the text line now, is Quinn becoming a Trump supporter? So I don't want to put everyone at ease too much during your segment. And one of your headlines from yesterday, Trump agenda document treats voters like suckers. Please explain, Quinn.
Well, first of all, for the first time in living memory, maybe the first time ever, this convention decided not to do a platform, an issues position paper document, which I thought was just outrageous. It means that basically they said, we support Trump, and that's the agenda, so it makes it even more of a cult of personality. But then Trump put out, the campaign put out its own 49-point agenda. And let's just say it's not an agenda. As I said, it's a magic wish list. He might as well be promising voters he'll sprinkle fairy dust on them to make them all princes and princesses. It is not an agenda to say, create 10 million new jobs in 10 months. The question is, how? What policies are you going to do? Create 1 million new small businesses. What's he going to do, wave a magic wand? And it goes on like that. It is a whole bunch of completely pie-in-the-sky desires put forth as if it's an agenda. That's not an agenda. It's as I said, it's a magic wish list, and it insults voters' intelligence.
So what you're saying here, and you're certainly much more well-versed in political history than I am, but it's basically every convention, the party that be, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, they roll out this platform. And the platform normally gives specific details on how they're going to do things. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I've got my own copies of the Republican platforms of 84, 88. I think I have the 2008 one. I think I have the Democratic 2008 one. They're not 100% programmatic specific. They're a little bit gauzy and hazy at times, but they actually lay out policies. It's as in, we will support a 10% across-the-board tax cut for each of 3 years. That's a policy. That's not a wish. It is an actual proposal. We will, support the MX missile. Again, I'm talking 1980s stuff. We will support deployment of the MX missile versus we will make Russia do what we want. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's that kind of thing where this is just nonsense. He says, okay, make all critical medicines and supplies for healthcare workers in the United States. Okay, well, if he can do that, why hasn't he done it already? How do you wave your magic wand or sprinkle your fairy dust and suddenly make all critical medicines and supplies? That's, again, that's crazy. It's a nice thing to want, but it's not an agenda. It's just, it's a dream of John Lennon on acid or something. Who knows?
Before we go any further, are you like broadcasting live from the Reagan Library? How did you, where do you come across these documents like that, Quinn? Who has those in their possession?
Oh, I was there. I mean, I was there as a page at the 1980 convention that nominated Reagan. I was there in 84. I was there in 88 as an alternate delegate plus about wearing about five other hats. I mean, I've been around this for a long, long, long time.
And that kind of leads into the point that I'm about to try to make, Quinn. Something that is specifically detailed, okay, we're going to hold China fully accountable doing step one, step two, step three, step four, or when you get more into the weeds and talking about certain, you know, certain aspects of healthcare or employment, to guys like you, political junkies, I'm sure that's very important. But for the people that these conventions are meant to serve, the voters, the potential voters, aren't they giving them what they want? They're giving them that red meat by doing this on both sides.
Well, yeah, but there's a difference. I'm not saying that a platform should be, nor has any platform ever been, a list of specific bills with bill numbers with all the every point within the bill, but they do all have something about how you get there.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a little bit general, but this isn't how at all. And as I say, any voter that goes for this needs to have their IQ checked. Not any voter that supports Trump, but I'm saying any voter that actually thinks this agenda means anything needs their IQ checked, because it's just it's nothingness. It's a desire. It's like a little kid saying, "I want a pony, and when I get my pony, I'm going to win the Kentucky Derby next week." I mean, give me a break. Don't insult our intelligence. Give us a little more credit than that.
Okay, Quinn. Text line has swung back the other way. Now we're somebody's saying more negative viewpoints from Quinn. So let's head back in the other direction, something that you said Trump has done right, and we've just got a couple minutes left here. But the right to try, life-saving medicine. Describe that article for us before we go out and read it.
Okay, well, again, anybody who wants to say I'm always against Trump or always this way, always that way, don't jump to conclusions. Give me a break. There was a great speech last night by a lady named Natalie Harp. She was a cancer victim. She was she tried two kinds of chemotherapy. They didn't work. The doctors basically told her she was going to die, and she should stop fighting because she was using up resources that could help other people. And President Trump signed legislation into law that the left has always opposed. It's called Right to Try. It lets people who are otherwise terminally ill try experimental drugs that haven't made it all the way through the approval process of the Food and Drug Administration. And the idea is, look, if you're going to die anyway, there's nothing left to lose. Why not give you a chance? And sure enough, she tried a medicine, and here she is on stage looking absolutely beautiful. She has survived. It's in remission. It's not gone, but it's in remission. She looks hale and healthy. And Trump signed it when Obama wouldn't. And it is one of the many things, and I have been way out front on this, mm-hmm. saying that the Trump administration, usually administratively to its appointees at Health and Human Services,
and Quinn,
administrative means to help our healthcare system provide more choices.
And wrap it up this week, Quinn. Thank you for your time, man.
Thanks.
That does it. Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com. We'll be talking with him again soon. Coming up, second half, the third hour, Mobile Mornings.
He's got a lot to say, and according to the text line, not everybody agrees with him, but he is fun to talk to. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, good morning. It is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Let's just keep on doing this thing, Dalton.
Yeah, 836.
Yeah, Mobile Mornings, Dan Brennan, and not Dalton Hilliard, as I introduced him during the segment with Quinn Hilliard. Quinn got a big kick out of that because he's an LSU and New Orleans Saints fan, so he knew exactly what my mistake was all about.
He loved it.
He did love
he
it.
He absolutely loved it. All right, right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, everybody. How are y'all on this rainy little day?
Yeah, it's rainy here, too. Funny how that works in Mobile. It's raining in both locations at the same time.
And we're a block away, Dalton.
It's not the end of the rain today or for the rest of the week, and that's why it's important right now to bring up the body shop at McConnell Automotive.
That's right. Gary and the gang back there, man, they'll take care of all your needs. Just give them a call at 251. I'll give you the direct line, 251-471-1777. They'll take care of all your insurance needs. I mean, we got one of the best body shop in the city of Mobile. And don't forget, if you know the car gets totaled out, check us out online at McConnell Automotive. Stop in and say hi to us. We got almost 80 cars in stock on the used car side right now. We're pumping up the inventory a little bit. We got Suburbans, Yukon XLs, Tahoes, Yukons, Jeeps, Infinities, Range Rovers. We got a great selection. Don't forget about the new car side. We got employee pricing still going on through the end of the month. It gives you a little rebate back on those. We got $6,000 on the trucks. We got a bunch of trucks on the lot now. We got a few Yukons coming in. So, you know, we got it all, a plethora of stuff sitting here waiting on y'all to come in and enjoy this. Hopefully this thing's going to turn and we'll have a nice day this afternoon.
You could say that again. Good stuff, Louie. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, it's cool that Louie's in the car business, because my new nickname for Louie is the human rebate, because that's I've never had anybody just hand me $100, and I told the story earlier this week. I guess that would have been yesterday.
Yeah, that was. It was earlier in the week.
We've only been doing the show 2 days. So anyway, Louie is a friendly enough man who once, when I was in a pinch at a grocery store, handed me $100. I don't really remember all the details, but that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, and you know why he did that, right?
I don't.
That was to hold one over on you so that you would owe him. No, it's actually
the way he works?
Probably because Louie Arata is just a great guy.
He's a great guy.
He helps somebody when they're in need.
He did say, you know, you can use that as part of your down payment. I said, down payment on what? Anyway.
funny how Louie works.
Yes.
And so, you know, we've been talking a lot. Of course, we give the COVID-19 numbers daily here on Mobile Mornings. And we're heading back to school, right? So Tuscaloosa, Auburn, right down here in Mobile, South Alabama, Spring Hill, University of Mobile. A lot of people heading back to school. And if you notice lately on AL.com and quite a few different articles, they've been talking a lot about the students heading back and partying, doing what college students have been known to do a time or two.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes we forget about this, especially if you don't have a student at South, but we think in terms of Kim and I sent both our kids away to school, Zach to University of Alabama, Joseph over to Savannah, but we are a place where parents in Mississippi, Louisiana, other areas of Alabama, the Panhandle, are sending their kids here.
Right.
Because so many students at the University of South Alabama, a university, one of the two universities you were thrown out of, or something like that. Do I have the story wrong?
Yeah, I was only thrown out of one. Okay. But I was thrown out of housing at the other. So.
Oh, it's kind of but we have a lot of students here who are not from their area, so their parents are thinking the same thing about Mobile right now.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm not sure what the partying situation for the kids in Mobile is.
I don't know either. Right now. Of course, there's not a partying district out by the school. There's
right.
not a bunch of bars out by the school, so I guess those kids come downtown. I don't know. I'm not well-versed in student life at the University of South Alabama.
Right, but...
Because that'd be weird.
Yeah, it would. You should check that out.
Okay.
Be our man on the street for the University of South Alabama. But, you know, Alabama, University of Alabama, Tuscaloosa and Auburn, I don't know if you've been seeing a lot of these pictures from the bars, and it really started right when the kids got into town. I remember the athletic director, Greg Byrne, tweeted a picture out there of kids waiting in line at the bar. I keep saying kids, college students waiting in line at the bar, and not much social distancing, not much masks. Well, now, yesterday, Tuscaloosa Mayor Walt Maddox announced, with Governor Ivey's blessing, by the way, that they have had an executive order in Tuscaloosa. They're closing all the bars and bar service at restaurants for two entire weeks. 14 days was the plan there, and they're basically doing that because they're saying that the number of coronavirus cases in the city is rising. Now, when they tested the students coming into Tuscaloosa, it was a pretty low percentage rate. They were saying under 1% tested positive. That was pre-term, before they came in.
0.8% or something.
Right around 0.8%. Since then, they've had, I think they're at 500 new cases now. So it's not, you know, outstanding numbers. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of students that go there, but apparently it was enough for Walt Maddox to say, hey, we're shutting down the bars here in Tuscaloosa for the next 14 days. Now, the question I have about that, and we've seen this with with colleges around the country, what exactly was their thought process there? You want to get the kids into school, and there's a big segment of the population that argues we need to get back to normal as much as possible. We need to have students in class and learning. Then you have the other side that's saying we need to shut everything down, don't send anybody to college. Well, these colleges, you know, they run on money. They run on tuition money. We talk about the athletic department balances a lot and how much they bring in, but that's nothing compared to housing, food, tuition. So you know these colleges wanted to get kids on campus, but I'm not sure, did they think they were just going to lock them down or that all the college students would abide by these rules for something that we've seen it does affect people of all ages, but it mostly affects the elderly and those with pre-existing conditions. So the college students, you're already feeling invincible at that age. It seems to me, not necessarily in this specific situation, but some of these other colleges, it's almost like they got them onto campus, got them to pay that tuition and housing and board, and then said, oh, you college kids aren't doing it right. This is your fault now. We're going to shut things down and go virtual only, and thanks for the money.
Yeah, and everything you said there is true, and everything you said is well stated, but the one thing that you said that should be highlighted in red is they got them to pay their fall tuition.
Yeah.
And so I think I would suppose, I don't know this for a fact, but you would have to figure that the reason they really wanted to make sure they could at least give it SEC football, let's give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give it a chance. So if you're going to give something a chance that's going to allow you to build your account, that's a chance worth taking, I guess, the way. Now, in terms of what the plan is, I know that South Alabama had a pretty pointed plan in place. That's a lot of P's, but I remember reading it. I got a text about it, or I saw it online. But there are procedures of how to go about things. When I have been on campus recently, everybody's got a mask on, whether inside or outside. I've seen a lot of the students are checking back in the last time I was on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So there just seems to be an idea of precaution and a mood of precaution on that particular campus. What else is going on anywhere else? I'm not sure.
Right, and keep in mind, and you've seen them out and about at South, but a lot of parents there on check-in day too, so maybe the college students wearing the masks while the parents are there, and this might be happening in Tuscaloosa and Auburn too, and then when the parents are away, the masks fly away.
I think that the masks, though, there are a lot of administrators that are also out in front of student centers, they're doing testing in certain parking lots and things like that, and I think what I saw that day, it just seemed to be that was the thing, that the students were going to behave in this way. Now, if they've continued that, I don't know, but it almost kind of like a you would feel peer pressured,
yes,
to do that. That might be some of it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But it's interesting on this Tuscaloosa, Auburn, Mobile situation. Are they going to shut it down at some point? And what does that mean for football? I think those are questions that need to be asked.
It is Mobile Mornings. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5.
Okay, thank you, Quinn. 2 minutes till 9 as we wrap up Mobile Mornings, and this segment brought to you by our friends, your friends, over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew locally do an amazing job, and it's so easy to call up 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Well, first off, the number's right there in the name, but also if you go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, it asks you there if you want to check your availability, and you just throw your zip code in, and it says, this is who you need to call, and that's where it'll tell you that you need to call Trey. And from there, it's very easy for you to set up an appointment time. All you got to do is click book an appointment, and I'm telling you how to book the appointment before I tell you why you need to book the appointment. So you've probably got a lot of junk sitting out in the front backyard, maybe a guest room that hasn't been seen by a guest in over a decade now because it's just full with so much of your stuff that you've gathered over the years. And well, you don't need that stuff anymore, but you also don't have the heart or the want to take that stuff out on your own. Just give Trey and his crew a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and they will come and do that job for you. It's a great service. I know many people here at FMTalk1065.com have used 1-800-GOT-JUNK and have nothing but glowing reviews, as well as people that aren't even associated with this station. They love 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and we love Trey. So give them a call today, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or call them right there on the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
There are people out there that are not associated with this radio station.
There
this
are.
Fine radio station, locally owned, locally staffed.
They should be associated
they should
with
be.
This.
They should be.
Now more than ever.
I'm glad that I am. I can tell you that. A lot of nice comments on the text line, and y'all just can't even imagine how overwhelmed I am with this opportunity and how happy I am to be here. FM Talk 106.5. This is where I am now, and it's Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, that's me, and Dalton Orwig, who is, how long have you been on the mornings here?
I've been on Mobile Mornings now for 3 or 4 years.
Okay, you should know that answer. You should know the actual figure.
It all blends together.
Okay.
And the reason I'm not exactly sure is because I actually started here 2014 after I graduated from the University of South Alabama.
Then you were thrown out of college. Where did that come in?
That came at Troy years prior. So I visited the most important schools in the state, Troy University and the University of South Alabama.
What I do before I ever agree to go to work for an organization is I do a big, deep police record dive on all the principals involved at my place of employment.
I should clarify, it wasn't Troy that threw me out of the college. It was more my parents that threw me out of Troy because of the fun that I was having in my freshman and sophomore years there.
You ain't the first one.
Now, what Troy did do, which made it easier for my parents to kick me out of Troy, was they took away this thing called a scholarship that I had at the time, and I let that go away quickly. Main reason behind that, they gave me a 7 a.m. freshman class, like first semester, get up at 7 a.m. and get this done. Of course, I did not make it to very many of those 7 a.m. classes. It's comical now, though, because I wake up at about 3:30 every morning to begin my
to do
day.
This.
So it would be real easy now for me to have a 7 a.m. class, but at Troy, not so much when I'm sleeping off the night before.
Well, do you remember what the class was?
Yeah, it was a journalism class. But they were basically teaching us how to use computers at that point.
Yeah.
That's the first step in journalism is how to use a computer.
Right.
And I couldn't even show up for that. Probably the easiest class that they have there. And I didn't make it in Troy. Came to South, and boy, was I on the right track after that point.
Excellent. All right, so we've got some big shows on the way we're going to tell you about, and guests. We've got that on the way on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, so Jeff Porshow following us beginning at 9 a.m., and he's got a great list of guests. Of course, there's some municipal elections today, and Dauphin Island Mayor Jeff Collier will be on with Jeff on today's show. I think he's running unopposed in today's elections. Also, State Representative Andrew Sorrell, former State Senator Tripp Pittman joining Jeff, and also former Governor Don Siegelman. I imagine you don't want to miss that interview. And then Sean, he's got a show coming up at Midday Mobile. Those of you wondering, where's Sean Sullivan? Well, he's still here. He's actually in the station as we speak. He just doesn't have to get up as early anymore. He's still doing Midday Mobile, and Mobile District Attorney Ashley Rich joining the show today. They're talking jury duty because jury duty is still on, Dan. You got to perform your civic duty and show up to jury duty. And Sean noted, while the Mobile City Council is virtual, jury duty is not virtual.
Yeah.
So you'll want to check out that interview with Ashley Rich coming up on Midday Mobile.
Sean is like our own Kim Jong-un. I mean, he's in charge of everything, but occasionally he goes missing. And the public becomes curious as to where Sean. So he's missed 2 mornings in a row, but he hasn't missed anything because he hired me to be part of the show with Dalton. Just to straighten that out one more time.
Yeah, exactly right. Text line 251-343-0106. This is great. Text here. Can you tell me why you felt the need to tell us that texters didn't like what Quinn was saying? If true, so if Trump voters don't like you, you should lie. Is that what you're saying? Please respond. So the text line.
Yeah, you see my response.
Oh, I have not checked out your response. I should have checked that out. Okay, yeah, now I see.
My response was, huh?
Yeah.
But it's like, I guess one of the, that's something that we said as Quinn was hanging up, going into the break, and here's what's going on is, I wouldn't dissect every syllable on this show because it is news talk radio, and just as when I was in other formats, you got to say something.
Yeah.
So I was just making the observation here. This is my first 2 days on the air. When I look at the text line, and I'm curious as to what the response is going to be to Quinn, a lot of it is they disagree with what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's factual, right?
And Quinn knows that.
Right.
And I think Quinn even likes that a little bit.
So what was that question? What do you think that question meant?
Well, he's just wondering why, if you're texting about the show, I guess I should put this disclaimer out there more often. The text line is not a personal private line. You're texting because you got something to say. Mm-hmm. And we love talking with listeners, whether that's via the actual phone lines, 251-343-0106, or the text line. So don't be under the impression that if you text us, we're going to completely lock everything away in a box and not speak about it on air. This is partially, just a little bit, material for us at some point. So I was just letting Quinn know. I was on the hate Trump-o-meter. I was having fun having him bounce back and forth because he had some good things to say about Trump and some bad things.
So. That's an actual meter that Quinn has in his house. It's located next to the Reagan Library.
Yeah, anytime you hear beeping, that means he's gone way too far one way or the other.
That's funny. That's funny.
So I did want to run through this quick before we run out of the show here. Thought this was a funny little story here. 10 most important things to have in common in a relationship. We don't have to go through all 10, but if you've had some relationship problems in the past, maybe you didn't have enough in common. And the number one thing here was to have common future plans and long-term goals, and then shared values. This one's big for me. A sense of humor is very important in a relationship.
Unless you're always making fun of your partner.
Yeah.
That would be a poorly used sense of humor.
Right.
Be careful the way you use your sense of humor.
Exactly right.
Agree on the same jokes.
That's most important.
Yes.
Don't make fun of your significant other. They don't like that. Also, number four here, sex drive and your overall attitude about sex. And then number five, lifestyle. So take that with you today.
Well, maybe very uncomfortable right here at the tail end of the show, and maybe I should not have called it the tail end. But anyway, it's about a minute away from 9 o'clock, now wrapping up day two of, called what now?
Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, Mobile Mornings. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5.